Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. The Brand as Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com. Today's podcast is called Changing Customer Behavior. Actually, this podcast covers two blog posts I wrote about changing customer behavior. First, in a highly instructive HBR article, Harvard professor Neva Ashraf outlines three particularly effective behavior-changing tools. First, there's commitment devices, contracts or other arrangements that formalize a person's commitment to achieve an objective. For example, researchers designed a commitment device to help smokers quit. They offered smokers a savings account in which they made deposits that couldn't be withdrawn for 6 months, at which time they would get their money back if they passed a test that proved that they had quit. I see great potential for commitment devices in social media. You could encourage people to make public commitments to their friends in their social networks and enroll their friends to hold them accountable. The second behavior-changing tool is material incentives. Incentives designed to combat present bias, which is the tendency to overvalue the present and discount the future. When public health workers offered a small incentive to Indian mothers for taking their children to get vaccinations, they offset the cost, a time-consuming trip, with a reward in the moment, a free bag of lentils, that seemed more powerful than one in the future, their child not getting sick. Marketers of products with little immediate benefit, for example, beauty creams, data backup services, and insurance, can use incentives like gifts with purchase and added value services to make the purchase seem more valuable from day one. And finally, there are defaults, choices that simplify and guide decision-making by making it easier to choose the desired option, the default, versus the alternative. Psychologists showed that when organ donation was the default option on driver's licenses, meaning they require people to opt out if they didn't want to participate, 82% of people agreed to be donors. But when the default option was not to be a donor, only 42% opted in. A few ways to use defaults immediately comes to mind. Making buying multiple products and or bundles easier and less expensive than buying single or individual products. Also, you can enroll customers in subscriptions or product replacement services. Or position a buy now with one click option next to your prices to discourage comparison shopping. The second post went into more detail about the power of defaults, based on a related Bloomberg Businessweek article about getting consumers to conserve energy and use clean energy. Defaults work, the article explained, for three reasons. First, inertia. Basically, people are lazy. So by making the desired behavior the default, we make it harder to choose to do otherwise. The article says, quote, "In light of the power of inertia and the all-too-human tendency to procrastinate, many people simply continue with the status quo." Defaults also work because of implicit endorsement. People tend to think that if an organization has selected an option for them, others think this is the right thing to do. In this way, the wisdom of crowds is presumed by the default. And finally, defaults work because of loss aversion. A default serves as a reference point from which any action to change it is perceived as a cost. The example from the article goes like this. Suppose you are not getting clean energy and are asked whether you want to switch to it, even though it costs a bit more. You might think you don't want to lose the money. But if you already have clean energy and are asked whether you want to save a little by opting out, you might not really care. The implications of these insights are important to businesses whose success relies on changing people's behavior, whether it's getting people to choose one brand over competitors, to buy something they normally wouldn't, or to adopt a new technology. Defaults are a powerful tool to achieve an advantage. When they're used to encourage behaviors that we can all agree are positive, as in the example cited in the Businessweek article, better energy use, and the HBR-inspired piece, better health behaviors, defaults seem quite acceptable. But there are uses that seem less altruistic. Fast food combo meals that come standard with large fries and large drinks, online marketers that automatically enroll you in their mailing lists, doctors who conduct routine tests that may be unnecessary. So perhaps a word of caution is needed about defaults. Organizations need to use them responsibly and consumers need to be aware that they might not always represent the best choice. That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at DeniseLeeYan.com. Take care and thanks again.